Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob and Scott travel, well, metaphorically, to South Africa and drink a red blend from Canacol, their Cadet Cape blend. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight, I am joined by Scott, the licensed taxi driver.
It's good to be here. How are you tonight, Rob?
I am just fine.
Are you?
I'm closer to fine.
Closer, but not quite there yet.
Well, you know.
You're definitely not fine.
Little Indigo Girls reference there.
Uh-huh.
You used to go there. You would follow the Indigo Girls.
I dig the Indigo Girls.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. Anyway. On tonight's show.
I like the Indigo Girls.
That's a good point. I only know Closer to Fine. And then, isn't there something else? I don't know. That whole genre. There's only, like, you know, Sarah McLachlan comes in there, too. She's a little
Natalie
bit.
Merchant, you mean?
No, Sarah McLachlan. Not Natalie.
Do you know who Natalie Merchant is?
Yeah, I heard her on a pop station once. She has one song, right? It wasn't a good song. Sarah McLachlan, whether you like her or not, she has like a bajillion songs, mostly the 90s, you know. Some of them on ACP commercials. Bo likes those. In the arms of... You know, if she hadn't made that music, I think she would have kept her career, you know, a little hotter, a little bit longer, because some of those songs are really just like torturous. I actually listened to that stuff when I was in college, Sarah McLachlan, and I listened to it more recently, and I went, man, I must have been a really depressed individual. I should have been medicated. Ask a girl out, dickhead. That's what I should have done that. So maybe I wouldn't have been so angsty. It's like, Jesus, man. That's just like, it's emo the wrong way, too. You're listening to that. It's just, you know, some of it's very beautiful music, but at the same time, not a lot of happy songs. You got a lot of problems, bro. You got some problems. Yeah. Let me smack you upside the head. But that's okay. That's okay. I'm fine today because I drink. And what we're drinking today is from South Africa. Not a wine region that we indulge in too much. I'm thinking you could probably count on one hand on the show the number of South African wines we've had on this show. Maybe on two fingers. I can think of a Sauvignon Blanc, a Chenin Blanc,
yep,
and this. I don't think we've done any of the reds.
Yeah.
Maybe one.
Didn't I pick up a Pinot Noir once that we did?
From South Africa?
Yeah.
Let's just ignore that because your memory's bad. But this is a fairly known South African producer, I guess. Canincorp. And they have a Canon on the label, in case you didn't know that. This is their Cadet Cape blend. It is a blend of 37% Pinotage, 36% Cabernet, 25% Merlot, and 2% Cab Franc, because that matters.
Sir, I believe it's a higher percentage of Pinotage than that, sir.
That's the label with the wine in the bottle. That's what it says there.
I know wine.com says something different, sir.
Wine.com says a lot of things.
They originally said,
this is Tim Atkins. They originally said, I reviewed the wine and gave it a 91, but I didn't. I never reviewed this wine, but they had it on their website when you bought it. Is that why you bought the wine, Scott? Because you said, Tim Atkins, who is he? And then, oh, he gave it 91 of his points. Oh, that's smashing. I must buy that wine. Is that what happened, Scott?
No.
No, of course not. You didn't know who I was.
Nobody knows. Tim, nobody knows who you are.
I was busy giving, you know, motivational speeches that day. I said, look. If you don't do your life right, I'll keep talking to you. Then you'll jump in front of a train.
Did it work?
Yes, the class jumped in front of a train, and there was only three people left after the intermission.
None of them could hear. They had their Beats by Dre on.
I don't know what you're referring to. Anyway, so Canacop Cadet Red Blend. blend, Pinotage, that is South African's, South Africa's premier red grape. It's their flagship. Not really grown many other places. I mean, you might see some places play around with it, like California and some other places. But
California love.
For the most part, it's left to South Africa. I think I might have seen even Australia do it once or twice. Probably badly. But
South Africa's creation.
It is.
Cross between
Pinot and Taj? I don't know.
Cinso.
Oh, Cinso.
And Pinot Noir.
Something you probably shouldn't cross. But
oddly enough, Pinotage is bolder than both its progenitors.
Generally, I would say it's one of the smokier wines that I've had in my life. My first one that I had was called Simon Sig. Smoky, sometimes a little bit of a rubber band quality to it, too.
Rubber band.
It's unusual, folks. I would say Charbono, it can be a little bit like that, only very, very big. I mean, it's a bigger wine, stronger wine. There's only 37% of it in this, but still should have some nuance and really scream South Africa. South Africa does have good wines, though. The Pinotage, some other things. They're even doing good Syrahs. And in the whites, the Chenin Blancs and the Sauvignon Blancs are really, really good.
What was the white that we just loved that we had from there?
Both the Chenin Blanc and the Sauvignon Blanc.
But in the brand.
God. It's been way too long.
It was nice.
Yeah. I forget what that is.
Because I got a couple bottles of it from wine.com, and then you just couldn't put your hands on it anymore.
They were in the Wine World Hall of Fame, but yeah, you're right. That all dried up.
It was fantastic.
They were really good. They were really good.
It was crisp.
Yeah.
Pinotage, primary flavors, black cherry, blackberry, fig. Rob loves some figs.
Sometimes.
Particularly when it's not a Newton. Menthol.
Yeah.
And roasted meat.
Roasted meat.
What type of meat? Roasted chicken? This picture.
Yes.
Of roasted meat has antlers.
Oh, so game.
Could be.
Yeah. It is a off-kilter, offbeat wine that takes a little bit different road, and it's not for everybody, but time and place, it can be a little bit fun. So folks, we're going to take a break, but we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. Hey everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks, with the Canacop Cadet Cape Blend. In the glass, and there's no reviews, even though it says on the back of the label that I, Tim Atkins, gave it 91. I did not.
And wine.com had just a Wine and Spirits get 91.
It did get, I do have one review, though. Wine Spectator gave it 88 of their points. And they wrote, shows some density with medium tannins and blood orange acidity, enlivening, which I didn't know was a word, the flavors of dried cherry and rose hip.
Okay.
A touch of mineral adds to the complexity as this comes together on the lengthy conclusion. Drink now through 2023, 36,000 cases made, but only 3,500 imported.
And, you know, your minerality could be what leads you towards or the other way around the roasted meat. So there
it
you
could
go.
Be. Yeah. Now, it is on French oak for 12 to 14 months. So it should have a little bit of a, you know, complexity from that. I'm actually pulling up the PDF on here. The age of vines are 5 to 30 years. And the origin is Stellenbosch. So very dry there. So you're expecting something that they really think a lot of their wines, just to point that out. So aging potential, 5 to 7 years, 14.29% alcohol. So, and they think it pairs well with pizza, pasta, stews, roast chicken, and barbecued meats. There you go. So in the glass,
it's, it doesn't look like the most dense red wine we've ever had.
No.
Which you would, granted, the cross between Cinsault and Pinot Noir doesn't mean it's going to be have those characteristics evenly.
Well, they crossed those quite a while ago. So,
but those tend to be lighter bodied wines.
Actually, I just had, no, that's, it was Carignan. Remember the garage company?
Yeah.
They had the Old Vine Field Blend Carignan that got a 97 from Robert Parker. Becky and I had that last Friday. And I don't know what I did with the bottle. It must be right here somewhere. Oh, it's right there.
Some of those had fallen flat for you.
The Vingio, or the Vinio, whatever you want to call it.
Okay.
This wine, what I loved about it, it tasted like old school wine. The Carignan just had the a rustic quality to it. It tasted like almost like a farmhouse red. Well,
so Becky hated it.
No, she actually liked it. It was gorgeous.
Hmm.
Uncomplicated.
Oh, okay.
But, 97 their points, but probably the best Carignan I've ever had.
Okay.
But more like a 90, 91, but really a great wine. If you ever find the Garage Company yellow wax top, buy that stuff.
Well, you had some issues with some of their stuff, though.
Well, their Pais went, I still have a bottle that I've never drank because it was corked the last one I did, so. But, this wine. On the nose, they're like, damn it, don't talk about other wines. We're on the show. The nose, a little bit of menthol, muddled cherry, a little bit of a rubber band actually to it. Slightly candied cherry, but.
Yeah, like vulcanized rubber almost.
Yeah. That's what I've always found. They leave that off when you, but smoky and vulcanized rubber. I've every, you know, Pinotage I've ever come across has those two qualities to a certain extent.
It's a decent nose, though, I'll tell you.
Well, it's not a bad nose. A slight bit soapy, but not too bad.
But that's not always a bad thing in the glass. You get a little soapy on the nose. That's a quite lovely nose. Dark berry. As Rob said, little kiss of menthol. And that vulcanized rubber is nice. I love this nose.
Mm. Are you going to like what you drink? Hmm. First thing I'll say about the palate. The mouthfeel really is quite good, very good, and it's very full of flavor in a positive way. Rustic fruits, so nothing comes across as cloying or overbearing. They all taste a little bit prickly because there is some acidity there that's popping through all the way through, but it has a nice rawness to it that I enjoy.
I wish you would stop talking because you're interrupting the finish of this wine in my mouth. It's a long MF-er.
It's a long finish.
It's a long finish. This is an impressive wine. Are you getting something that's kind of like some acidity that's popping on the front palate a little bit?
That's what I'm saying. There's acidity that runs right through it. Yeah.
It's like it's poppy. It's like almost like bubbles and club soda. It's not, but it's like a prickly acidity.
That's exactly what I just said.
It's a prickly acidity.
It's
what you were talking during the finish. I couldn't listen to you. It was finishing.
I just said
I wasn't listening to you because I was finishing my wine.
Okay,
it's a long bastard.
Yeah, the French oak comes across in the finish. It doesn't necessarily pair as well with the fruit and the acidity as I'd like, but it's not bad at all.
They're not out of place.
No, the needed oak, it kind of slides through the finish and it's fine. The pairing of the varietals, you notice the nuance of the Pinotage. The influence is there and you can taste it. Cabernet, the rest of the blends, they're kind of a back seat. they're way in the backseat. I mean, if you told me it was 36% cab, I think it's more probably the 57% that you saw that's a misprint on the label. It tastes like it's more Pinotage-dominated than it Pinotage-dominated.
Than it really is.
Yeah. And which is a good thing because that really is what this country is known for.
It's what you want.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure they make great cabs in South Africa. I'm sure they make great Merlot. Actually, they're kind of a little bit known for their Merlot, right? But it's Pinotage. You know, it's their varietals, per se.
The mouthfeel, though, it is very silky. The French oak really did its job here. That, and this is $17. It's one of the better mouth. We just said that Killikanoon, that has a really good mouthfeel. This is a slight bit better. Up.
It's a different mouthfeel.
Yeah. Now, I prefer the flavor profiles in the Killikanoon, but this mouthfeel is banging. It is excellent.
There's nothing wrong with the flavor profiles in this. It's just different.
No, it's just different. It's completely different. It's a personal flip. I like this, though. There would be times where I'd be like, yeah, give me the can of cop. Because
I tell you, if you like...
It's interesting.
If you like base California cabs, you're gonna love this.
The fruit in this? Yeah, but this doesn't taste anything like this.
It's fruit forward though.
But it also has some slight vegetal elements, like sun dried tomatoes in there, and
okay,
a few other things. Fair. In a good way, because it's adding layers and complexity. You can find those wines in tired, haggard things. This does not taste haggard or tired. One thing I've always said, I love a vibrant wine that tastes alive, and this wine does that. It has that excitement, that vibrance, that life to it, that vigor.
But you know what else? You know that this has been set back a little bit.
A little bit.
It's kind of contrasts what you just said, but it's true.
But it has it in the right spot.
Vibrant, fresh fruit in a wine that's been more than 2 years since I purchased it.
It's been properly stored. This has been, folks, in the queue for about as long as... Yeah, it's been in the queue for like 2 years.
Rob was always saying, why?
Yeah, I never could think of a reason to ever... I always wanted
You know, you said that when I bought it.
Well, I always wanted... Well, we didn't have any South African wines, so there's a reason why.
No, you questioned that reason
was. It was an oddball blend, and so you're like, can we do a standalone... Can we, you know, can
yes.
we confab against something else? You couldn't really. It wasn't. And I also knew it probably was a little bit interesting enough, too interesting, to even do a pairing with something. Normally, if I'm doing a double feature in an episode, there's a reason for that. Because the two wines by themselves are too fucking boring to carry a show. But
can Brad this has, and Janet
yeah, this wine has
save
something
the
else.
Planet.
Just does. It has something else to it that is interesting, you know?
That's right. You don't think Rocky Horror is interesting.
It's just not my thing. That's all right. People like it. That's good for them. You know, it also has a little bit of nuance or a little bit of reminder of Rhone. All of the sum of all those parts get a little bit Rhone-y. Not more Languedoc than Rhone, but the meat, the meatiness to it. It has that red meat kind of flavor.
Take the front palate off this,
mm-hmm.
the mid palate and the finish, compare properly with them. This finishes like a wonderful mid range, lower priced, but well done Rhone wine.
Yes, it does. Cote de Rhone.
The way this wine finishes is exactly why you and I like Rhone.
Well,
and remember, South African reds are modeled and made in the French methods.
Oh, absolutely. One thing, though, I will say that it doesn't finish like Michel Chapoutier's Belle Rouge currently, because that is a drink of... honestly, Scott, I am really coming around to the Belle Rouge because I've had a couple bottles, but... that's what I had by myself on Wednesday night. And I'll tell you what, if you're going to sit there, if you're going to drink
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah, that's true. It's a feed. Well, you, we were going to wine.
Folks,
we were,
there's five bottles of Michael's Chapotier's Belle Rouge lined up in the basement floor here.
Yeah, there probably are.
What? Why are there cigarette butts in those?
Well, you got to do that, man. It, you know, it's thrown. But if you're gonna if I was gonna pick a wine to die from drinking on, it'd probably be the Belle Rouge. It's just such a nice wine. Pretty wine, soft wine, well, nicely approached.
And that's a different question than I can only drink one bottle of wine the rest of my life. Then I'm gonna drink one bottle of wine to die from. That's different. And you posed it as drink that to die from.
Because you'd have to do it with intent. Because it's not gonna do that accidentally. You're not gonna do that accidentally. Like a Turley Zen, you could do that accidentally. So it's not a potent potable. I mean, it has potency, but not like that.
No, actually, that's a lower potency.
With my liver, I can drink a bottle of that, shrug it off, and be fine the next day. So, although I did that with Uber Earth, didn't I? Maybe I have a problem. Maybe I don't care.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
He's like, you're already different.
Every day, just shoves it up his nose.
You're no different.
Not true.
True.
No, I moderate.
Oh, you do not.
I do.
You do not.
I wasn't drinking today at the World Cup match.
Yes, you were. You had a Bloody Mary.
Not at 9 in the morning.
Yes, you did. You sent me a picture of it, dickhead.
Not at 9 in the morning.
What, 9:30?
Yeah.
Well, we got our meals. I wasn't drinking at 9:30. Drinking water.
Well, you weren't at a proper soccer match.
That's true. I was at home. And Becky and Henry were arguing with each other. I mean, it was bad.
Over the game?
Yeah. Henry was right on everything he said, and Becky was screaming at the TV, and Henry told her she needed to calm down because it was ridiculous. She was acting like a nut.
No, I liked that about her.
But it was a little bit too much.
And Henry doesn't scream at the TV? I walked into podcast two Sundays ago.
That's true, he was.
He was not screaming, but he was definitely yelling at number 10 because he was in the wrong position.
Yes, but Becky doesn't know what position they're supposed to be. Henry does.
I would guess that Becky probably...
No, she doesn't.
I wouldn't bet against her.
When they were down 3-1, she was still screaming at him. Henry goes, they're down 3-1. They're not coming back.
They still had time.
Well,
they still had time.
They did. They just don't have enough scoring. So, and their defenders was like, did you put lead in your shoes?
It wasn't the shoes. It was the brain.
Yeah, that was bad. That was
two.
I've seen youth soccer games with bad defense like that.
Horrible mistakes. The first goal, you know, Memphis Depay started the play on the other side of midfield and then made a run, and Tyler Adams never caught up to him. Mm-hmm. He didn't seem interested in catching up to him. Yeah. But nonetheless, that's one of the classic, I'm going to run 60, make a run that's 60 meters long and classically finish a ball perfectly where the goalie can't touch it.
Yeah.
The other two were just obvious guffaws by the defense.
Yeah.
Yeah. First of all, moron who, there's 1 minute left and a half, and you're going to throw it towards your own goal on a throw-in?
It's impressive. It was impressive, yeah.
It was slightly less than impressive.
Yeah.
He demanded, take me out at halftime, coach. Here, let me throw the ball into my own net area.
I have a plan. No, you don't.
Mm-hmm. Jesus Ferreira. But it is what it is. They had a great World Cup. Didn't end the way anybody wanted them to. But the truth of the matter is they took the play to the Netherlands. And it's a brutal game. And they could have won. They didn't. And I can't say they deserved to win. Where in England, where we took the game to them and it was a 0-0 draw, we deserved to win that game. Netherlands made the plays we didn't. They deserved to win.
But true. Well, folks, we're going to take a break, but we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. We'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So on tonight's potpourri, Scott, I'm going to ask you a question. We already talked about it. But if you're going to drink one wine for the rest of your life, what's that?
If you're going to drink one wine, and if
you're going to drink yourself to death with one wine, what would you do with that? Which one? And I'll do it too, but I'll pick a different one than, you know, Belarus. You know, Mikhail Chapoutier should put that on their website. No, no. Rob the wine guy would use this wine to kill himself if he could do it. Why wouldn't you put that on there?
You know, I don't recommend wines to kill myself.
That's
with
high
often.
Praise. That's high praise.
Right but there. When I do,
and by the way, folks, if out there, if you had a loved one that killed themselves by drinking,
we're sorry. Just no, just stop talking now.
Well, you know, does that really happen?
Yes,
well, it does. I'm leaving Las Vegas, I guess it did. But you know, just from wine, it wasn't from wine, probably.
No, I would have to say there's winos. There's a reason that phrase wino.
Yeah, they're drinking schnapps.
Schnapps?
Schnapps. Straight vodka. Maybe they're drinking San Pellegrino, pretending it's alcohol.
So I think we should add a third category to the drinking myself to death with self-loathing.
Oh, that you hate yourself.
Yes.
You want to beat yourself.
You want to beat yourself up.
Okay.
And I get to pick that one for you.
That's what?
I get to pick that one.
Well, I'm
going to
answer that.
No, you get to pick one for me, too.
Okay. Oh, what I would make you drink.
I'm going to make you drink. You're going to have such self-loathing.
Wouldn't that be the last one we'll go to? Just hold on. Hold on to that.
Okay, all right.
So, but okay, so drink one wine for the rest of your life. What's that?
Wow. I'm going to go the wine.
And vintage to vintage.
No, it's not vintage.
It doesn't matter.
The wine I'm going to drink myself to death with.
I mean, you don't want it to get fucked up. So you started like, well, the J. Lore Hilltop, and you're like a 2011 vintage. You're like, that's good. Now, you're like, no. But you've already picked it for the rest of your life. So you have to like be...
This is why I'm drinking it to death. So you,
well, no. This is the wine that you would drink the rest of your life and enjoy. You're not going to die from it.
I'm not starting with that one.
No, you have to. That's what
I'm starting. I can't. No, I need to think about that.
Well, that's too bad.
No, I'm picking...
You're never going to think
the
of
the wine I'm going to drink myself to death with. And okay. I think it is the 2017 varietal of Baran. You can't get it anymore.
But the 2013 was the good one.
No, the 2017.
That was terrible. We had that. It was
2015 was the good
2013.
One. 2013 we got a little bit of.
2013 was
14 and 15 was the bomb.
No, we never had the 15. They didn't even make a 15. That what I see right there on the label, it's wrote 2013. Dumbass. They didn't have a 2015.
Yes, they did, because you and I and Becky had one at my house.
No.
Yes, we did.
No, that was a 2012, and that was their Napa.
No.
We old
had the
man with no memory.
At the Baran, too.
You're a dipshit.
We had two bottles of Baran that night.
Yeah, we had a 13 and the 12. No. That's what we had.
No.
There was no 15, because Copper Cane didn't exist then. Then it went all Copper Cane, and it sucks dick now.
How dare they?
A big, hairy dick.
Oh, that's it. That Baran, you could
13.
We could have drank that to death.
Yeah, it was a good wine. It was overscored, but we haven't drank
it. We loved
it.
Yeah. We loved it. Yeah. It was great.
It's not good now cuz we've had it. It was terrible. The most recent Barans suck.
It was just disappointing. It wasn't the same
thing. Because it tastes like shit.
No, it wasn't the same thing. It was just fucking.
Did you see that Poggio de Tufo? It's an Italian Cabernet. I don't know if that ever made air, but I gave it a 91. You gave it a 92, and it was $14.99. Where's that wine at? We should try that again sometime.
Which one? Where's that?
Right there. It's got the shiny label with the red square.
That made the air.
Did it?
Yeah, it was early days.
Wow, 91 and 92 for a $15 wine.
Well.
I don't know if we would still get that score.
Those were in the 3 and 4 bottle nights, too.
Yeah, that's a very good point. So you said, okay, the Baran. So, but I'm going to actually wine for the rest of my life. So I'm looking at a wine that over time has been consistent that I enjoy. Okay. It might not be overly exciting, but I know it's going to be good. Ferrari Carano Cabernet.
Cabernet?
Cabernet.
Not the Merlot.
No.
I much prefer the Merlot. Well,
go buy it.
Well, try it.
Now, wine to drink myself to death with. I've already said the Belarus, but we'll switch up from that. But I wouldn't care if it killed me. It's basically what we're talking about. Mont Olivet, Côte d'Aron. That's really good. Tinsley Syrah also that comes to mind. That's really good. I wouldn't mind killing myself with Tinsley Syrah. I'll do Tinsley Syrah from Santa Barbara. Yeah, that's a really good wine. I haven't been able to find any more Tinsley on wine.com. Hey, fuckers. Bring some fucking Tinsley, dickheads. So, Scott, wine that you drink for the rest of your life. Do you need me to give you some suggestions?
This would be particularly that same bottle.
Okay.
That we had. That 04 Clarendon Hills Higginbotham.
All right.
That was transcendent.
Well, I wasn't talking about... I was talking about in 10 years from now, you're still buying that wine. You can't pick... I would have said Pointe Canet. Well, which is unreasonable. Okay, I guess so, I could have.
Okay. Oh, reestablish.
I mean, I guess I could say Pinot Canary, but, you know. I mean, Chateau Framboise is also really good, too. I'm not thinking about it. And, you know, The Boy by Kay Vintage is also really good. Chateau La Prade, I love that.
The thing my mind keeps coming back to, every time I have it, it's such a special experience that I love it.
Camus?
Could I drink it every day and feel that way about it? There's probably not a bottle of wine that truly you could just drink every day and feel the same way about it if it's a really, really, really special bottle of wine for you.
I don't know about that.
But the one that keeps popping in my head that I just love so much is the White Coat.
Yeah, Becky didn't like it very much.
And that's fine. Mm. You know, that's fine. And maybe
she drinks San Pellegrino. So, you know.
But maybe for her, it was just too French stylistically.
You mean good?
I like Kimmy.
Dumbass.
But...
Oh. Here's a lifesaver. Drop it in there. She's regressed. That's all I'm saying.
But if that's a white wine, and I'm a red wine drinker, but I could... It's the white wine I could drink for the rest of my life and give up red wines for.
Okay. So now, the wine that you would torture each other with. Scott, what would you torture me with?
You know what it is.
No, I don't know.
You know absolutely what it is.
No.
What I would do is every day you got a blind bottle of wine.
It'd be the dumbest thing you make?
And there'd be two choices every day, and you wouldn't know which it would be.
Mm.
One would be Meiomi.
Which Meiomi?
The Pinot.
Well, I could live with that.
And one would be The Prisoner.
Oh, well...
You're paying, and we actually,
are you
we actually
paying
drank
for
that.
It?
No.
Oh, I'm paying for
there's
it.
No, there's no, well, trust me, you're paying for it.
That's $50 a pop.
You're paying for it. But actually, when we did that bottle of The Prisoner, we it wasn't as bad as we mock it. And truth is, neither is Meiomi. It's just meh.
You're going to be hurt.
Okay, hurt me.
This will kill you. I would make you drink... Robert Bialy's Party Line Zinfandel.
Bialy.
The most disappointing piece of shit we've had that was somewhat pricey. That was terrible. Oh, it was bad.
It wasn't as bad as it was just so nondescript. It was
Bialy'd all the way
up. It was just Bialy'd.
All of his stuff is terrible.
Well,
I make fine wines.
I thought we'd hit a Bialy.
To dumbasses.
I thought we had a Bialy out somewhere. It was fine.
I've had several Bialys.
I thought and I did somewhere.
No. And I don't know why I've ever got a...
With steak somewhere?
No. I think I'll buy their, you know, even the expensive ones. I'll get the black chicken Zinfandel. You tasty went, why did I get the black chicken Zinfandel? I'd rather lick a broom, you know. Oh, awful wines. You know what? Stylistically, I hate them. And you know what? If you like them, I hate you.
You're so mean.
Don't smoke so goddamn much. That's all I'm going to say. It's fucking terrible. I make wines. Do you? I'm glad you think so.
I know somebody likes
for their drink Bialy. Clinker brick. Who?
Hey, it's Marge. Yeah. Steve Fatty Liver.
Bo probably would drink it. Yeah, give me clinker brick.
No, you and Bo knows better.
Yeah, I don't know. Give me the ghost, the expensive clinker brick.
I'd rather drink.
We have a $40 Zinfandel. No, you don't. Yes, we do. No, you don't. Oh, we do. Would you like to drink it? No. Well, here's our $40 Zinfandel. Would you drink? No. What does ghost block mean? Does it mean somebody's dead?
It's like a nerve block, except it's for a ghost. I so that you know. Don't see the ghost. So it's like an, yeah.
Awful.
It's a telekinetic device so that you keep the ethereal world at bay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Becky is texting. What are you drinking? Who do you care? What are you drinking?
San Pellegrino.
I wonder if she's nursing her San Pellegrino.
I don't want to get too drunk on my sparkling water.
Dumbass.
I just pretend I'm drinking.
Well, you're going to pretend you're cool, too? Is that what you're going to do? Well, you can only pretend so much. People will catch on. So, folks, we're going to take a break.
I'm cool. I speak Russian.
Huh?
No, I don't.
Here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So, the Cannenkopf Cadet Cape Blend from South Africa. Scott.
You know, this is yet another great selection on my part where you've...
Another? Yes. I mean, no, it's a rare great selection on your part.
You hide them from the audience. When was this purchased?
I don't know.
Maybe check the back. Label?
Should we go through
where it says your other 2020?
Doozies? Should we go through your other doozies that are on there? You look at the stuff.
Fantastic. When I bought this, what does he say, folks? What does he say? Okay. Well, why would we do that?
Folks, we're in the Christmas season right now. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, the Island of Misfit Toys. That's what Scott buys. And so you're looking at it like, where the fuck did this come from? You know, you're like, I bought a Semillon from Croatia. Why? I don't know. I mean, to his credit, the wines he finds, you can't find anywhere because nobody wants them, but he finds them, goddammit. And so this one is, oh, look at me. I actually bought one that's good. Oh, wow.
Earlier you were talking about Michael Chapultepied. Who turned you on to
Mikhail Chapultepied.
Who turned you on to that?
Me. Oh, I knew Lord. About Mikhail. You didn't even know what the hell Roan was. Turned you on to Mikhail Chapultepied. He's been around since the beginning of time.
Mm-hmm.
I was drinking Belarus before you were born.
Mm-hmm.
In 1801. So what's your score for this wine? I just knocked it down 2 points.
Good for you.
No, I didn't do that.
Can't wait to buy this again. I think it's fantastic. I think it's approachable.
Yeah.
I think the 2 years plus that this sat did wonders for it. I think it could go a little further.
Oh, yeah. 3-4 years. Yeah.
Couldn't recommend a bottle more for the price point.
Price point's good.
91 of my points.
What?
Oh,
you are slanted to something you bought. Jesus Christ. 91. That's a bit high.
Slanted?
Yes.
What, are you going to make a racial overtone to?
Your bias.
My bias?
Yeah.
This is you ridiculous. Keep your eyes off of
91
my bias.
Of your points? Jesus.
91 that's of my points?
That's not a 91
that's point. That's a 91.1?
No, it is not. I like the wine an awful lot, but a 91 is a dipshit score.
You're just mad because I gave
that is
the last one an 89.
Oh, Canada. That's what that is. That's ridiculous. I'm giving this wine 85 of my points.
Perestroika, perestroika.
I'm giving it 89 of my points.
Oh, Jesus.
That's not a 90, but I really enjoy it. I think that it's bright and enjoyable. The mouthfeel is great. The finish isn't quite what I need from this wine.
Oh, my God. This is a better finish than the last one that you gave a 90.
It's a inferior finish to the last one.
Oh, my God. You're so full of shit. And not only that, which wine did you say had a better mouthfeel?
The Killikanoon.
No, you did not.
Yes, I did.
Listeners, you know what he said earlier in the episode.
It's amended. It's different.
You're fucking different.
But it's good.
Put that up your nose.
No.
I wish it did.
I enjoy this wine greatly.
You're such a dick.
I mean, it does taste a bit corked.
Oh.
It's mildewy.
Your brain's mildewy.
It tastes like a prostitute's vagina is what I'm saying. No, it doesn't taste.
And how would you know about that?
Well, there was this one time. I told him, okay? It was a male prostitute. At least I thought
so. The line is one time in band camp.
Normally the prostitutes that are pretending are women then have penises, but this was different. He pretended to be a male prostitute and he had a vagina. I've never seen that before. It was an oddity. I don't know. I was really surprised and very disappointed, but I didn't care at that point, so, you know.
Yeah.
He had a strap on, so it all worked out in the end.
In your end.
That's what I meant, dumbass. Anyway.
Up your ass.
That's right. A great wine.
You didn't. That wasn't Wolford's voice.
No. Highly recommended. Not Hall of Fame, though. No, we'll put it in the Hall of Fame. I like it. It's up there. Value priced, actually. The fact is, it is, I don't know if you can find it right now, but if you found it, I think you should buy it just to experience kind of the tapestry of South Africa. And I think that's one thing. I like a wine that you can learn something from. You can learn a little bit about Pinotage here and kind of feel what their intentions are, what they want to do with wine. It tastes that way. It tastes like I said with the Killikanoon, it tastes somewhat artisanal. It tastes like somebody cares as to what they're doing. And I experience something that reminds me of wines I've had from South Africa before. So when you're really grabbing hold of the region you're in, this is more South African, but, and you really represent what the wines from that area traditionally are, that's something that I applaud and I enjoy.
Yeah, and this falls in that category.
It does that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So it makes you want to drink more Pinotage. It makes you want to drink more wines from South Africa.
Well, you should experience them to find the ones that you like, certainly. I mean, Pinotage in itself, it's not for everybody. It really isn't. But mm-hmm. South Africa does make good red wines, and you should try them. One thing, right now there's not much available, but some of their Syrahs would be very, very interesting to drink. They're a little more expensive, though. They're $30, $40, $50, $60. But good wines. And don't ignore this area. You ignore South Africa wines.
At your own fault. The Chenin Blancs are spectacular. It still escapes me on that Chenin Blanc we did that we scored. I think it was straight 90 is what we scored it. But probably. It was fantastic. I think it was only $12.
It was low.
And it's been 5 years ago now. But still, it just was fantastic.
It was good wine.
It had an expression of minerality and crispness that I shan't forget. Even though I can't remember the fucking name.
But that being said, a 90 and an 89. Oh, I'm sorry, 91. An 89. Tip of the cap to all the wines Scott and I have had tonight. This is our second episode. So I'm going to give a tip of the cap to everything that we've drank tonight.
Everything in our life that we've drank tonight. Everything that we said we'd drink for the rest of our life.
Everything we thought about drinking tonight. Wow. Rarely, Scott, do we have two episodes in a row that we enjoyed both wines. Thoroughly.
It's been a minute.
I know. Normally it's some dog shit thing.
Well, that's
and I'm, honestly, though, this was a bit of a surprise. I thought it would be okay, but I thought it'd be...
Oh, you kept your bias into your score. That's okay. Don't worry about your bias. You kept it with you the whole time.
Oh, please. You're like, I buy a good wine. 91 of my points. When it's 89.
False.
What's this your range, though? What's your range? I want to hear your range, Scott.
90 to 91.
No, it's a 3.
No, it doesn't have to be.
It has to be.
My range is
89 to 91. Is what
What's
you're
your
say.
Range?
I would say 88 to 90. I'm right in the middle.
Dick!
That's the truth.
Which wine's better?
The Kilkenny.
False.
It is.
False.
It is.
False.
That's because you're dumb. So,
which wine had a longer finish?
The Kilkenny.
Oh, my God. Just do it right now. Just put that in your mouth right now, and then put that one in your mouth right now.
I'm still respecting this wine by drinking.
No. Put that mouth.
I mean, I feel like I need a spit bucket.
And then put that one.
What happened to our spit bucket? It started leaking, didn't it? I bought a spit bucket for the show, and we threw it away.
I don't think we threw it away. You broke it.
Well, it broke. How the hell did it break?
Didn't
it was leaking?
Bo got his head stuck in it.
No, I think it was leaking.
William got his head stuck in it.
I don't know. Wherever it was. It was black, wasn't it?
Luke broke it.
It was a big fucking thing, wasn't it?
It wasn't that was an ice bucket.
It was a spit bucket, you dipshit. It had the top to it and everything. I bought a spit bucket.
You're fucking idiot.
That's why most spit buckets are metal.
Spit buckets.
That's what they are, man. Dump buckets. Call them whatever you want. Yeah, buy a metal dump bucket. Apparently the plastic ones break, but that's all right. So.
You know, usually we have to have a bottle of port for it to break down like this. You're just rambling because you're so embarrassed by the way you've behaved on the second episode.
And night's not over. So, for Rob the Wine Guy and Scott the Innocence Taxi Driver, we're going to bid you adieu. But we will see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night.